Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You can probably hear my voice. I'm not real healthy this morning, and I'm a little bit lightheaded, so I'm a little bit fearful of what I'm going to say because of a lack of focus. So the Palm Sunday, this is springtime, and in the beginnings of spring. You wouldn't know it in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but this is where we're at. This is the time of year when little girls wear their pastel-colored dresses and little bonnets, and little boys wear their new white shirts or colored shirts and ties and dress pants. And next Sunday's Easter already, and that's an amazing thought in and of itself. Palm Sunday. You say, man, what is Palm Sunday all about? Well, we read this morning, Pastor Bill has already read one of the texts, the parallel text concerning Palm Sunday, and I want to preach Mark in chapter 11 to you this morning as best I can. This is the final week of Christ's earthly ministry. And we're going to cover the first couple of days of the week in this chapter. And Jesus Christ presents himself to Israel as king. And of course, the nation rejects Christ, Jesus, as the Messiah. Let's pray one more time. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word. Make it live in weakness. We pray that the power of God would be made manifest. We pray this morning you'd help me to have clear thoughts and Lord, say only what you want said. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Got a message just this last week, and I wanted to pass it on to you. And a lot of times these things don't get passed on. There was a man in the area, Mr. Lawler, came, and he has a hobby with trains. Anyway, he came and presented the hobby to the school, and he left a note wanting everybody to know, the teachers to know, that the kids were extremely well-behaved, and he was so impressed. And he said he'd be willing to come back anytime that we ever wanted him back again. First thing that occurred to me is, I wonder who kidnapped our kids and put those other kids in that classroom. But not in reality. And he specifically wanted the teachers to know that. So you heard that this morning. Palm Sunday, in chapter 11, in verse 1. It says, and when they were come nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, two villages on the outskirts of Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. 2,000 years ago on this Palm Sunday, Jesus Christ gave us a little foretaste, a little foreshadow of heaven. It's like he peeled back the heavens just a little bit. So we just have a glimpse, just a picture, not a good glimpse at all, but just a picture of the day of Christ's coronation as King of Kings. And that day will come, and we'll be in the millennial kingdom. And there is a kingdom coming like this world has never seen. And Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years here in this earth with a rod of iron. We won't vote on anything. We'll have a king, and he'll be our great king, the benevolent king, the just king that we read of in the Word of God. Now, Israel wasn't prepared for that king, not as yet. Some had an inkling of what was going on. I don't think they fully understood. In fact, I'm sure they did not fully understand. With that as a background, here in chapter 11, the disciples go into Jerusalem, and they find a colt. Now, we find in the book of Matthew, in chapter, I believe it's 2. No, it's later than that. Chapter 21, we find that that colt was actually a donkey, and it was a young donkey that had never been ridden before. And they go, and verse 3 says, "And if any man say," Jesus said, "if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt?" Just like Jesus said they would. They said, you know, just like Jesus said, and it always happens, like Christ said, God had prepared this donkey for them. And verse 6 says, "And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go." Perhaps, and this is a little sidelight here, just a little thought. Perhaps God hasn't called you to do great things for the world, but God has called you to do great things for him. There was a colt that was prepared. That colt belonged to somebody, and that somebody followed the direction of God and allowed Jesus to use that colt for his triumphal entry. Not a big stallion or a chariot like you would think a king would ride, but a young colt. Verse 6 says, "And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way." And we know this from other parallel passages of Scripture that some of them actually cut down palm trees, palm branches, and laid them on the way. So they took their coats and they laid them in front of the donkey as he entered into Jerusalem. And some of them took palm branches. And it wasn't a red carpet, but they did the best they could do with what they had at that time, knowing that something tremendous was going on. Now some of the crowd, no doubt were believers. Others, for whatever reason, you know, they just kind of got caught up in it, and they start shouting praises. Verse 7, "And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him and sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they followed him cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." It's a quote out of Psalm 118 in verse 26. Hosanna actually means, "Lord, save us." Now, I don't know if they fully understood what they were saying, but they were fulfilling prophecy. So here's Jesus, the very Son of God, man of sorrows, knowing Calvary is in front of him. As he enters into the city, they can't help but cry, "Hosanna, Lord, save us, Savior." And they laid palm branches down in front of the donkey and their coats so the donkey could walk upon the treadway there. "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." If you take your Bibles and just go back quickly to the Gospel of Luke, and that which was already read, Gospel of Luke in verse chapter 19 and verse 37. Verse 37 says, "And when he was come nigh, even now, to the descent of the Mount of Olives." This is a parallel passage telling us of the same event. "The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." If creation had its way, it would shout and sing, "Hosanna." The Pharisees and the scribes were trying to get Jesus to suppress the crowd, but Jesus was, you know, they were speaking the truth. He is Hosanna. He is the Savior. He is the King. And they were preparing the way and worshiping him as best they could. Go back to Mark in chapter 11 again. Verse 11 says, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple by way of the northern gate. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he made his entrance into the city, He went into the temple, observed what was going on, observed some wickedness, and then he left with his disciples, went 2 miles back to Bethany, and spent the night. That was Sunday. Now it's Monday. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So we have the triumphal entry, Jesus as king. And then we have the cursing of the fig tree, or the doom of the fig tree, because it was unfruitful early in the week. Because the fig tree was unfruitful, there was a loss of blessing. Say, Pastor, what does that mean to us today? I don't know if I'm being real clear with this morning, because my thoughts aren't real clear, but here's what I know. The fig tree was cursed because it did not bear fruit. How many Christians and churches, despite all of the outward trappings of Christianity, they bear no fruit. And so they're doomed. And that's really what the curse was about. So here's Jesus as king, and then we need to be fruitful. Let's read on, verse 15, the cleansing of the temple. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. There was a lot of crooked business and commerce going on. The temple tax was about a half a shekel, and so there had to be money changers. And those in the temple, those Jews that were in the temple, they were making merchandise of the people of God and taking advantage of them and unjustly exchanging money and selling doves for sacrifices and all of that. And those things had always been done before, but now they were being done by crooked businessmen. And they were trying to make merchandise. They were trying to make business out of worship of God. And Jesus, he cleanses the temple as a result. And verse 16 says, and he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel, nothing, none of the stuff, through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Quotes Isaiah and Jeremiah. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. That's the end of Monday. Now there's Tuesday. So far there's been the triumphal entry, the cursing of the fig tree, and the cleansing of the temple. There's a picture there, a little micro cross-section of the Christian life. You need to take Jesus Christ as your King and your Savior. You need to cry out, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Also, you need to be fruitful as a Christian. He'd be someone that bears fruit and brings others to Jesus Christ. Regularly and often, there needs to be a cleansing of the temple and our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit and becoming clean for God and asking God to use us over and over again, asking for cleansing over and over again. And then, verse 23, there needs to be faith. Look at it. Excuse me, I'll read verse 20 first. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursed or doomed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Now, no doubt they were worried. They saw the fig tree that he had doomed and it was already dried up. And Jesus said, Fellas, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, that's, by the way, an impossible thing, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you'll just say, if you'll just, not just God can do something, but God will do something, if you'll have that kind of faith, you can move mountains. Mountain-sized problems in our life just become bumps in the road if you have just a little bit of faith. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Trust God, and you'll do mighty things. That's a pretty simple lesson that Jesus is teaching. Take Jesus as your King, as your Savior. Hosanna. Lord, save us. Be fruitful, or you'll end up doomed and never have any fruit here in this world, and you'll dry up. Cleanse the temple on a regular basis. Trust God. Have faith so that God will be able to use you. Now, verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So there's no sin, just short-circuit prayer is what it does. We need to be a forgiving people. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. They try to confuse Christ, and Christ with his profound deity and logic devastates the religionists of the day. And say unto him, by what authority dost thou those things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he'll say, why then did you not believe in him? But if we say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto him, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. They wanted a king. This is Israel. When Jesus came, they rejected him. Take your Bibles and turn to John in chapter 1. John in chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's speaking of Jesus. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Israel rejected Jesus as the Christ. One day he's coming again. He's coming again for his church. And then he's coming after that 7 years later for Israel, those that put their faith and trust in Christ. He came to Israel the first time, and Israel rejected him. Look what it says in verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Salvation is for every individual who will come to Christ. In spite of the culture, in spite of the world, in spite of the background, you come to Christ, and you'll be born into the family of God. I did not do a good job preaching this morning, and this is how Pastor Rader preaches when he's sick. But I do want to say this. There's a great day coming. There's a shouting day coming. A day when Jesus will sit on the throne. We'll worship him. For 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom, we will worship him. David will be there. But Jesus will be king. The church will be there. But Jesus will be king. All of saved Israel will be there. Jesus will be king.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Tim Rader of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. Would you like to help support Maplewood Baptist Academy or sponsor one of the students? Please call 906-495-5200 or visit our website at fbconline.net. Tune in again next week when Dr. Tim Rader brings you the good news from the good book.